Morning, everyone.
Hey folks,
Who's
how are we
running the
doing?
show here?
Hey, good morning.
I don't know. I don't know what the show is, so it would be hard for me to run it.
Oh, I can't hear. Maybe that's what's going on. Sorry.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, I
Hi
can hear
Mike.
you fine.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, so I mean the only thing that I'm interested in is we talked to Seb and I talked to Mallory yesterday and we heard about the issue with the network. The quote unquote network issues, and just wondering where that's going and if there's any help that needs that anybody needs.
Well, I can talk about what we just, what we found. I mean, we still don't have a whole lot of answers. Is Jason joining this call? Obviously, he was also looking with me.
I think he intended, wait, Jason's coming up to
Oh wait,
maybe.
no, that's right. He's out, right? Because he's his brother's coming to town. Something like that. Okay, so, when we were looking at the logs, we saw that wherever we seemed to encounter this network issue, there was this array overflow issue in the logs, but there was not any associated stack trace with it. And even more frustratingly was that, I could go through the logs and find the point up to which it seemed like it happened, but I wasn't able to find anything logical that would be causing that to happen. And obviously the logs weren't telling us anything. So we kind of resorted to everything, like even talking to ChatGPT to see if anything could help us there. And eventually we found that there is a compilation flag in Java that normally, I guess, when Java throws an exception a certain number of times, it will stop including the stack trace in there. I guess just to, for efficiency's sake, but for us it means that it's hiding the thing. So we put the flag into the compilation on Gradle to tell when Grails compiles don't suppress these stack traces. So our hope is that that would actually cause the full stack trace to show up in the logs, which would give us an idea of what's actually going on. But of course, we need to have that code actually running in production to be able to see what gets thrown in the logs when it actually happens.
Right. Okay.
Are you able to recreate it on tests or something by sending a request?
Nope, it does not show up in the integration test or in dev. Yeah, the only place we've seen it is in prod.
Okay.
So, that sounds hopeful. I don't know if I'd say promising, but, is there any way, and I guess this is mostly for Ian, is there any way to query the system to find out how frequently this thing is happening?
Yeah, I could look for the message that Kurt identified in the logs and count it.
Yeah, because it would be super helpful, I think, to know is it like 2% of the requests or 30% of the requests?
I can easily count how many times this thing gets thrown. It will be a little harder associating it with a percentage of requests, but we could try to figure out something to calculate that.
We must know the number of requests for the same window, no?
For what?
We must know the number of requests passing through the breakpoint in the same window.
From the broker? The message is in moderate asked, right, Kurt? Or is there a way that I can identify it from the broker as well?
So we're seeing it in two. So we were seeing a message in a monorest when it was trying to send a request, and then we were seeing another one in the broker when it was actually trying to send a request to monorest, and both of them were generating errors that had no stack traces. Like it wouldn't, in the case of when the broker was trying to send a message to monorest and it was getting back a 500 error, that was like a null pointer with no stack trace. And then there was also the issue where ModRS was trying to send a message, and something was going wrong with the sending of the message that was throwing this array overflow, and that was also having no stat trace. So it was actually in two different points, and they seem to be related because we're seeing them in like similar places, but it's odd that it would fail both at the same. So I'm not quite sure what's going on, but yeah.
Is the broker just
But we can.
repeating or just telling you what error it got from ModRS, or is it throwing its own error?
It's just telling the error it got from ModRS. So it's
Okay.
getting. So there. So the issue is that ModRS does not actually have a. It doesn't have a template to actually generate a well-formed request when it throws a 500 error. So it just gives like the raw error 500 plus the output, which is what broker is getting and saying, oh, I can't do anything with this, you know. But it does record the message that it gives.
Well, maybe I'll catch you on Slack and you can tell me what, show me what the message
Yeah, I
in the
can
broker
definitely
looks
show you
like,
what we saw there.
and then I'll make an account, and then yeah, we could more easily get a percentage that way.
All right, cool.
It's we're meeting the Trove people tonight. If there's anything we can do to at least kind of get a picture of the frequency of this, that would be really helpful. I know that they, I guess, are still reporting these once in a while, but we don't have a good sense of how often it's happening at all, and I don't think they know either, obviously.
Right.
But as long as we don't have a handle on this, it feels like it is kind of blocking all of our four stuff, and they are really, they feel a lot of urgency about the timeline for that stuff too. So it really would be fabulous if we could figure out some way to nail this down.
Is it okay if I roll this to prod today? Is it, Kurt, do you think there's not really much risk here because we're just changing a flag?
Yeah, I think it's definitely low risk, and I think it would be great to be able to get some better logging for what's going on prod, hopefully.
Okay, so I will make a build that is built off the tag that they're running now, but I'll, make a branch and add your flag, and then I don't think I'll need to do an upgrade because it's not really a change to ModRS, so I'll just restart it with a new container for the logs.
Okay, so it would be getting rebuilt though, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna make a branch. I'm gonna put your change in there, and then I'm gonna build a container off of that. And then I'm gonna switch which container it's using to do this new one and restart it so it pulls the new container. And then it will
Yeah,
be running that.
the latest commit I made to master, I mean, it adds the flag and it has a few tweaks to logging. So I think those would be good to go in there as well. So I mean, you just want to cherry pick that commit. I
I'll
think
make the
that'd be
branch and then run it by you. Yeah.
good.
Okay.
So we don't have Mallory to test anything.
Right.
And I don't actually know about if Deborah's able to test. I'm feeling a little queasy about
Sure.
pushing something into prod. So maybe we get the count first. And then we decide if it's big enough count that we want to push something to prod. What do you think, Seb?
I wonder if we should ping both. Looks like Julie is out on vacation. I guess she may be traveling then.
Yeah, she's back tomorrow, I
You might be
think.
able to test too. We can also try to ping the Caval people and ask them to help test.
Yeah. But I'd sure like to have a sense for how often we think this is happening before we go back to them.
Yep. Okay. All right, let's try to get the number. Meanwhile, I don't know if there's other instrumentation that would make sense to add, Kurt, given that we don't get to upgrade prods. We don't update prod all the time. Is there something else we should be adding to think about this?
I don't
Other
think so,
than that?
because like, we wanted to add logging to the spot where it was happening, and the ironic part is that there is logging in the spot where it's happening. It's just that it is suppressing the stack trace. So, we need to see that stack trace is for whatever is going wrong to actually get a handle on it.
All right.
Okay. All right, Ian, I just added you on to a policy issue, so that's you got a couple of things to juggle.
Oh, okay.
So we'll wait on that from you. Is the other stuff you can watch chasing Kurt in terms of trying to chase this down?
I'm pretty much at as far as I know I can do at this point until I see some more data. Unfortunately, I don't really know what next to do.
Did we upgrade? So I'm looking here. Let me share. I think it might be useful for me to just share this. Hold on a sec. And just kind of walk through it and see if there's anything we should update on. No, hold on a sec. So did we in fact upgrade Trove tests yesterday? Ian, I guess that's for you.
Yes.
Okay. And that wasn't for bug chasing. That was some of the updates and changes for towards R4, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay. And let's see. And she sent an email. We're waiting for feedback on that. Network error timeouts. Yeah.
So theoretically, we would move that thing that you just deployed to test yesterday into prod sometime next week.
It's scheduled for the 31st, which I guess is next week, but we'd have to, they have to approve whatever ch changes are in test now.
Gotcha. Okay.
Bert, do you have a sense of how what that leaves in terms of what we want out there for the end of the month? It's just in case you had a, because I've only been in some of the internal Trove meetings, just wondering.
Are you talking about like what issues we have currently like
Yes,
there?
exactly. That we're trying to
So,
get done for next week, yet.
there was one that I was working on that was with the request aging, and I believe that one was reviewed well, and that one was ready to go. And then Jason had been working on some stuff with the costs, the maximum cost stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that was wrapped. And I'm not sure what else Jason had there, but I think that was the main ones.
Thanks. Let me see. She says she's asked Trove for any remaining ISO go lives so that we could plan them out. We don't have any new additions, so we should be ready for July 24th. Do, 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 do. And the other stuff is really about trying to work with Katie on the outstanding interrupt stuff with Alma. Sorry, my cat is going wild. Sending patron info to the supplier, and I said so I wrote to Trove asking for information about sending patron info to the supplier based on Jacob's comments on ILL Dev 165, which is I think they want to make sure that we're not sending any patron details to the supplier, and have identified it as a major privacy issue. Okay. Oh, this is. This is important. Where is that at? I'm looking at ILL dev dash 165. I'm just trying to figure out where we are. This vacation business is fun, isn't it?
Inventory compute resources with no cost savings plan. That's the one that they're looking at.
Nope. I love to have 165.
Oh. Do not send patient details to the supplier. This is
Okay,
the
yeah, I
first.
see
This is
that.
the first I've seen this one. I haven't looked at this yet.
It's not assigned to anyone,
Data information sent the ISO request.
So looks like she is. Let me see if she actually sent anything to them on this.
Okay. Okay,
I
yeah,
don't even think we've
that
had a
was
chance to talk
yesterday.
about this one as a group yet.
Okay, yeah, so it looks like Jakob has a, he says, he's got a question for them, and then the implementation will depend on their response. Mallory says she's checking yesterday at 7:30 p.m. So I'm not sure if they've gotten back to
Yeah,
them.
okay. Patron. I feel like to me, it seems fairly obvious that we have to not send it because even if we can hide it in reshare, it would still be, even if we hide it in reshare, it would still be passing through to ISO PS then. So it doesn't seem to me like there's a lot of doubts, but I can validate that with them. At least that's something to talk about in that damn meeting. I think we tried to get it canceled, but they insisted on having it. So that's going to be very fun.
So yeah, what can we give them in that meeting then? So we're gonna
It sound it sorry to cut you off, Ian. It sounds like we just basically need them to answer Jakob's question, then we can figure out that because that will control how we implement it. It's not a question
Exactly.
of
Yeah.
whether we want to or not, but how do you get a hold of what she asked them? Do you know?
I'm looking for, she did send, I'm trying to see if it's in the big email she sent, her R4 queries threads. That was July 22nd though. So I don't see a more recent. Oh, here's something July 23rd. Okay, here today we are upgrading the Trove test environment with the following: request aging based on service level, express request will age after 2 hours. That's your thing, Kurt. Yay. Cost negotiation up, down, minimum cost, warning that it's the last step to do a cost condition. Tier displayed service level translation, potential fix for request getting out of sync, different states. Is that? Do you guys know what that is? It includes a potential fix for requests getting out of sync. Is that related to this network thing?
I'm not sure exactly what they're referring to
She sent this yesterday afternoon, but she does not mention the. She does not
looks like,
mention.
was that, that might be one, ILDA 153 maybe?
Out of sync request, AMPD 26. That seems relevant. Okay, yeah, and she says trying to schedule it so we can test this. Okay, so that's, yeah.
What is that? Is that a, did you, is there a, an issue for?
Yeah, I just put it in the Zoom chat.
Thank you. Sync requests. Okay. Okay. Let me make a note about this issue, 153. Okay. All right. Network Tanas, Asha go live, sending patron. Okay, I don't see what she wrote about the PII stuff. Yeah, okay. That's all that she had flagged. So our plan is going to be to what we want to do in terms, so the step one is to try to get the counts just so we have a sense. I mean, if it's a very low count, then it may not be much of an issue. On the other hand, it sounded like Mallory could recreate it fairly readily, so I do worry that it's a lot. We shall see.
Yeah, and I think the thing we're trying to determine is how quickly do we push out something to prod to try to get more logging. So if it's a big, if the percentage, everything's relative, but if people think the percentage is big enough, then we can go to the Trove folks and say, we're going to push this out over the weekend, okay? Knowing that it hasn't been tested that thoroughly.
But
And
can we, you, Ian, we can we can limit the push to just being a change in the logging. Is that right? We don't have to push everything else that's sitting in the chat.
yeah, I'm proposing we just pull in the change to the compilation flag, which sets the Java's behavior about stack traces. So that's on dev now. And I can put it on production whenever.
How do you see, what do you, how do you gauge the risk?
Oh yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not really familiar with why those are suppressed. Like, is it gonna log too much? I'm trying to figure out what the risk would be. I could also build a branch of the newly released one that we did on test and do that. I don't know if there's anyone around who can kind of put system through its paces right now. I think everyone's gone.
You know who could potentially would be Sarah.
Oh, right. I mean, they're testing right now, so I could just make it, build another image, and deploy that, and we can just tell them that we've also added this logging change to test.
And there's no easy way to limit that change. This apropos the discussion about running different versions of things for different tenants. Is there a natural way or easy way to limit the change to just the tenants where we normally do validation and testing? I believe that we have a couple of tenants in prods that are often used to test stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, it makes me a little uncomfortable.
Okay,
It
good.
makes me more uncomfortable than just doing it because,
Nope, never mind.
okay.
Yeah, and so I just back to the do we push something on to test, I mean onto prod without it really being thoroughly tested? If it's a big issue, then I think we got to take that risk. The most important thing to me is to communicate with them what we want to do. So Seb, if you're going to attend the meeting tonight, then I would have some information, talk about the situation with them, and get their permission to deploy it our Friday, their Saturday. And Ian, one last question. It would be fabulous if we had a way to tell easily if something went south that we're not expecting. That's the thing I'm afraid of, is like it doesn't logically, it seems like it'll be, no risk, but something could happen and suddenly the system doesn't work. And so is there
Yeah, I
an
mean,
easy way?
our alerting really would catch only if it's down hard. Like, If ModRS isn't responding and it's not able to look up requests and stuff like that, it wouldn't say, if there's a new error, being thrown when a request is created or something like that. That's
Yeah,
reported by the
something
customer, unfortunately. I think
exactly.
we should try to coordinate the rollout with Sarah, because it is my sense or impression that she is able to do the same stuff more than Mallory is. So I will try to do it at some point, morning, afternoon, when she's going to be around, and then have her do some thorough poking at
Yeah.
it.
I mean, yeah, as long as someone who has that ability or knowledge to, put stuff through and evaluate it is looking at it, it would be also easy for me to revert since there's no data changes or anything like that. I could just switch the image back to the old one.
Right.
So I think there's pretty low risk in terms of like overall damage to the system. I guess the only problem is that if it were to affect requests being created, we'd have to, I don't know, figure out how to fix those requests. But yeah, again, I think that is kind of a stretch. It seems like it would be low risk, but knock on wood, famous last words, all that kind of stuff.
Right,
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, there's no change to data processing or how stuff is flowing to the system or anything like that. Yeah.
Right. So as long as the throw people hear about this and understand the potential low but a potential risk, then I think we're good.
Okay.
All right.
We'll bring that up tonight.
So okay, so just so I'm not going to drop the ball here, so I'm going to figure out the ratio of requests that this is happening and then wait for word on when to update with
Yep.
this new thing.
And
Okay, sounds
that
good.
word will come tomorrow or
Okay.
late tonight. Yep.
That sounds good. Ian, while we're talking about this, is this only happening on either errors only showing up on outgoing requests or incoming requests, or is it both?
I guess I don't know. I mean, to me, they're all the same.
Okay, I just want to be mindful when you do the counting that it's the right count.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's always the thing. But I think the broker how does the broker treat it? Does it have more than one record for request, or does it have one record per transaction on both sides?
I do not know.
Okay, well, I'll figure it out and then,
Okay.
yeah, report back.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All
Sarah,
right.
back to me. I'm gonna chat with her a little bit and kind of get up to speed.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, good
Okay.
one.